With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Just want to talk about the fight of faith today. The fight of faith. David makes his plea to God for help, and he does it out of a faith-based reality. One, the relationship that he has with God. Two, out of the revelation that he has of God. And three, because of the resources of God. Faith, my brothers and sisters, is being able to see in the spirit realm what is unseeable in the natural realm. It's believing beyond your situation that God is still in control. David makes this plea for God's help, and he does it when he says, as he does this first part that we see in verses 1 through 4, it's actually an intercession of faith, really, because he's talking about how God, in the hearing of prayer, tranquilizes the believer for battle. God, in the hearing of prayer, seems to give us a tranquil spirit, a calm spirit in the midst of an impending battle. One of the things that you must recognize is David is no stranger to battle. David has battled men, he has battled enemies from within and without, he has battled animals. David has battled some of everything and some of everybody, and he knows how to battle, and the best way to battle is with God on your side. So he talks about prayer in verse 1. It tranquilizes the believer of a battle, for the word says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Listen at this. The name of the Lord or God of Jacob defend thee. Now, if you know you're entering in battle and you know that in the day of trouble, you know, it don't make no difference if I call him and he don't pick up his phone when I'm just checking in. That's all right. You know, if I'm just calling to say, good morning, Lord, how are you? If he don't answer the phone, that's all right. But how many of you know when the day of trouble comes? If he don't answer no other time, that's the time you really want him to pick up. Have I got a witness in the house? I mean, there are things that, you know, in your life that you experience, and even with family and friends and loved ones, you'll call them, you want to share some things with them. And for those who have answering apparatuses, those who of us who's got some kind of way of receiving the call, even though we're not there, we can take a message. But there are times when even if you don't answer and the ask machine comes on, you don't even leave a message because it ain't that important. You'll be like, if they got an ID caller, they'll see I called. And, you know, I'm not going to wait and, you know, leave no message. But when trouble comes, if they don't ever answer it any other time, isn't it good to know that when you really need them, they pick up the phone? Well, this is what David is saying. He says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. But not just that, because just hearing him is one part, but getting him to answer you is the other part. Because look at what the word says. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. So that means if you can get God to hear you, then you know you got God to answer you. And if you got God to answer you, that means then that you can be certainly cool and comfortable in the crises, because God is literally the one who's going to defend you in battle. But then he moves on, because prayer not only tranquilizes, but it energizes the believer for battle. Look at what verse 2 says. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now listen again, because one of the things that you've got to realize is your real battles in life are not necessarily physical battles. They're not necessarily natural battles. They're not necessarily financial battles. At the root of all battles, it's spiritual. Spiritual battles. You see, the devil has so many fronts and so many grounds to wage war against you. And what you need to know, at the very root of that situation, it's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle going on. And so if you just fight it in the flesh or in the carnal or in the natural, you're going to realize that you will never get the victory that you deserve or desire in the flesh. You've got to take it to the spirit realm. And see, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to get caught up in the flesh, because you can't beat him in the flesh. That's his arena. But when you go into the spirit and put things in the hands of the Lord where only he can handle them, and then he will cause them to come and manifest themselves in the natural, the enemy then knows that he's defeated. See, if he knows that you know who you are, and if he knows that you know who to call on, and if he knows that you know how to throw this thing in the hands of the one who beats him every time, he learns who to pick on, and he won't do it as often as he does with others who have not learned this yet. Listen at this. But only this, not only does the prayer tranquilize and energize, but verse 3, it authorizes the believer for battle. For the word says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. Selah. That's authorizing the believer, because you have petition and you have sacrifice and you put up things before God. That's one of the reasons why you do the right thing and you sit yourself in a situation where you have already made reservations for God's help and for God's power and for God's ability before the day of trouble gets there. Because sometimes you're going to realize, my brothers and sisters, you can wake up like Job and the devil ambushes you. And so what you need to realize is you ought to have some prayers on reserve against the day of trouble. You ought to have already called up on God and say, God, the old folks say, I'm sending up my timber every day. You don't realize that there are things coming, and sometimes, listen, they come in intervals, and some intervals are longer than others, and some of us become comfortable when we're out of the storm and don't realize that we've got to prepare before the storm gets there. That makes the difference with those who can handle the storm and weather the storm as opposed to those who are destroyed in the storm. And so he realizes this is the truth here. But then look again, verse 4 helps us to do something else. It helps us to strategize for the believer, to be able to strategize for the battle. Listen to what it says. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There are going to be some things that the devil hits you with that you've never been hit with before. And yet, while you are right in your situation, God will speak a word to help you to maneuver not only in your situation, but out of your situation. You see, one of the things the believer's got to know is that God has got this thing fixed. And I mean, you've got to know that so deep underneath the skin that no matter what betides you, you've got to know God will take care. Am I talking to anybody in the house today? You got to know God will take care. He didn't bring you to this moment, to this situation, to this point in life to allow the situations of life to overthrow you without some recourse. And when you know this, God, listen, the Bible puts it this way, that when trouble comes, when situations comes, Jesus had already prayed that the Holy Ghost would give them in that same hour whatever they needed to say, whatever they needed to do, he would guide them and direct them. Sometimes you can't plan for stuff you don't know that's coming up. But when you ain't got no plan, you ought to at least have the power of God present to work in your situation. Well, he dealt with the intercession of faith in verse 1 through 4. But then I want you to see in verse 5 here, he deals with the expectation of faith. Look at what 5 says. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners, plural. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. I want you to see, one, he says they have an expectation of faith to see the salvation of God. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Look at that faith talking. See, because you got to be in your situation and see yourself out of it. I said you got to see yourself in your situation and see yourself out of it. You got to already be down but see yourself getting up. You can see yourself in your sickness, but see yourself being healed. You can see yourself in a place of darkness, but see you coming out in the light. You got to be able to see where you are in the flesh, but then take it to another level and see yourself delivered in the spirit. Oh, you might have knocked me down, but I see myself being up. I see this too shall pass. You don't get stuck in the now of what you're going through. Your faith catapults you to a whole nother place. Listen at this. Listen at this. There is an expectation of faith to see salvation. That word in the Old Testament is dual. It means not only saving of soul, but it means delivering of situations. So he says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. I know breakthrough is on the way. We will rejoice. I'm setting up the party right now. Matter of fact, I'm getting everything together. I wish I had somebody here. See, you've got to see where God sees you, and he sees you as a victor. While you might be suffering as a victim, God sees you as a victor. So as he sees you as a victor, while you're coming through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not fearing no evil, for thou art with you, and you're making your way through this thing, because on the other side of the valley is the victory celebration. He prepares a table in the presence of mine. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen. I want you to see this thing. An expectation of faith to see the salvation of God. Listen again, look again. Verse 5. We will rejoice in thy, your God, salvation. See, because there are some things can't nobody help you with but the Lord. There are some things nobody can deliver you out of but the Lord. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. The president can't do it. Nobody can do it but three Hebrews boys one day were standing in the faith of their God, and that was a call made for everybody to bow down and worship this golden image. Nobody could call on nothing and nobody but the king for 30 days. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, that's all right for you all, but we can't go to that celebration because of who we are and whose we are. We can't bow down to no God of gold when our God made the gold that your God is made of gold. We can't go to that celebration. And so, listen, so there they were when the music played. They did not bow. Three young men standing tall for the Lord. King knew them, knew they were good men, faithful men. But then his ego was struck because they didn't bow down to his golden image nor request anything of him. And he said, come here, boys, maybe y'all got the instructions messed up, y'all. Y'all didn't understand what they were really saying. Listen, now we've got this beautiful golden image made in my honor, and you can request of nothing or no one but me for 30 days, and we're going to celebrate. So when you hear the music, just bow on down. Everything will be all right. But they say, long live the king. In other words, king, we respect you, your position, and your power, but we belong to the Lord. And we cannot bow. And listen, we know that our God is well able to deliver us. But if not, we still can't bow down. Something on the inside, it won't let us do what y'all are doing on the outside. To God we live, and for God we'll die. The king got mad, say, heat the furnace up seven times hotter than it ought to be. They didn't understand those numbers are God's numbers. And they, you know, the enemy try to make it worse on you, but they don't understand the worse they make it, that's the better God shows up in the situation. The hotter the fire, the happier our God. I wish I had somebody to hear me here. You see, when your enemy tries to make it tougher on you, try to make it worse on you, try to be more uglier and ungodly to you, all he's really doing is showcasing the spectacular that God is getting ready to present. In other words, the more they hang your name on the corner, the more they bring you down, the more they cause folk to look at you, that's so they could see what God is getting ready to do. What the devil means for evil, God means it for good. So sometimes he delays a little while until the crowd gets bigger. Y'all not hearing me. Sometimes he lets the crowd swell to see what they think is going to be a catastrophe, but they don't understand the power of our God. And all y'all know the story, how the men bound them up, and those men who were strong and mighty brought them to the face of the fire. But something strange happened. The men who brought them to the fire got burned up by the fire. And listen at this. They could have turned around and ran. they said, listen, the power of our God has kept us and will never leave us. And they walked right on in to the fire. I'm talking about faith now. Listen to me. Because if you got faith in your God, you ain't scared of a little fire. When they walked in the fire, guess who was already waiting for them? Well, I'm trying to tell you, God will be waiting on you in some strange places. I said, God will be waiting on you in some strange places. The king said, wait a minute, didn't we throw three men in? Lo, I see four. And the fourth one looks like. I wish I had a witness in the house. Oh, sit down. I'm not nowhere near through here. The expectation of faith to see the salvation of God, but not just to see the salvation of God, but to raise the standard of God. Look at verse 5 again. We will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all your requests. You see, in the olden days, in the Eastern culture, in the Christian community or the godly community, banners were made to broadcast a certain message. And so when they needed peace, they would put up a banner that said, Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And they would walk around with banners. And it was a testimony to the enemy that if you want to cause some trouble, look at this banner. Because the one whom we represent on this banner is our peace. Y'all not hearing me here. I mean, you go on down the line and you call off the names of God. Notice what the word says in verse 5. Again, in the name of our God, we will set up our B-A-N-N-E-R-S. So when there is a need, we just paint a banner up. And that same God shall provide for every one of our needs. When we're in battle, put the banner up. Now notice it's plural, so it is again to suggest that whatever they need in the name of the Lord, it was already provided for. Already provided. In other words, that was their declaration. That was their profession and that was their faith, that they believed in the God whose name was on that banner and that he could do whatever it is. They've declared according to his word, he can do. See, you need to be able to know God and know him more intimately to call on the names that more directly affects your situation. And when you learn to do that and call upon that name, the enemy knows the power in that name. You can save yourself a whole lot of mess if you just learn how to call on the name of the Lord and know that he will answer. Listen again, because I want you to see something else. They also deal with the realization of faith in verse 6, because God's victory is an accomplished fact according to the word. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. God's victory is an accomplished fact. Don't get it twisted. I said God's victory, not mine. In other words, when you begin to know the word of God, know the will of God, know the way of God, you begin to know that his word is established in heaven forever. So if that is the truth, what I'm dealing with now, God has dealt with before. And since he's dealt with it before, he don't have to deal with it again. In other words, he dispensationally put it in its proper place. So at the proper time, that he dealt with before was meant for right now. So when the time meets up with that God's prepared, it just brings itself into position. It's an accomplished fact. God has already taken care of your situation, past tense. God has already dealt with your enemy, past tense. God has already made a way for you, past tense. God has already healed your body, past tense. God has already given you deliverance, past tense. You've just got to line up so that when your time comes, what God has pre-provided for you falls in place at the right time. That's why you ain't got to tell God, God, go to this and go to that. God, be this, be that. He already is what he was. And I got news for you. He was what he is. Somebody gonna hear me sooner or later. I'm trying to tell you, he's already been where you're trying to send him to. He was at the hospital before the hospital was a hospital. He already knew who would be in there before they ever got sick. Matter of fact, before they ever were born, he had already dispensationally given all of the doctors, the nurses, the medicine, and caregivers the ability to minister you in your time of sickness so you would be healed again. You don't understand. It's an already accomplished victory in the spirit realm. That's why you ain't got to wait till the battle is over. See, when you get the revelation of this and you're still going through it, folk will look at you like you're crazy because you're shouting about what you see in faith while they're standing there in the stuff and don't understand it. Listen at this word. Listen. Not only is God's victory an accomplished fact, but God's ministry is an attendant force, meaning this. Look again. He says, he will hear. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. God's ministry is an attendant force. In other words, you got to realize that God's got some angels. You ever wonder why when you went to sleep and God, while you were sleeping, had an angel to keep the car on the road? And when you were sleeping a little bit, he said, angel, bring it on the shoulder just a little bit. Lord, I wish I had a witness here. He's got an attendant force riding with you. Lord, I wish I had somebody here. I could give you example after example, but I need you to know that his ministry, God has an attendant angel there to guide you, to guard you, to give you that is necessary so that you are able to gain from whatever it is that God has prepared for you. Look again at what he says. The word says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The saving strength of his right hand. His right hand is synonymous with his power and his ability to do battle, and he has never lost a battle yet. In one night, God had one angel on security duty. And the enemy was messing with the people of God. And in one night, Isaiah say, he told the security angel, I want you to wipe them out. And one angel with a sword killed 185,000 by the time the sun went down and the sun rose the next day. Don't tell me God ain't got no firepower. This little stuff they talking about, nuclear this and all of that ain't no power for God. God has all power in his hand. And the right hand is synonymous with his delivering power, his defeating power, his dominating power. Look, let's move a little further into the text. But then, not only was that a realization of faith, but then in verse 7, there's an affirmation of faith. This is because there is no confidence in the flesh. Look at verse 7.